Okay, if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah 50:50. Isaiah 50. Had a funny, well, funny, not funny thing happened this week. It was funny, looking back on it. And maybe some of you have had a similar experience before, but we've been meeting, we're trying to meet every morning with the kids before we get into homeschooling and pray together, and then we've been going through the Proverbs. So we'll take like half a chapter of Proverbs and just read through it. Somebody reads, and you know, we pick a favorite one out of them, and you know, if there's something I'm inspired to say, you know, from it or teach from it, I'll teach the kids. And there's such practical things there, like what are you doing with your mouth? You know, what are you doing with your heart, your thoughts? You know, irritations. You know, people walking in their own ways. Just all sorts of funny things. So I just got, this was this week. I forget which day it was. Doesn't matter. And I was teaching. We had gone through some Proverbs, and I was sharing with the kids the importance of what you say, you know, and how you talk to one another, and saying this is why I don't put up with, you know, with you kids when we see something, I correct it because I want, you know, your heart to be right in these things. So we finish up and I get up and I forget exactly what it was all about, but I proceed to run my mouth about something and exactly an example of what not to do and what I just taught them not to do towards my beautiful wife, and went up to work. You know, and you ever have those days you just feel grumpy? You don't know why you woke up grumpy, and sometimes it just comes out, right? It was really funny. So funny now that I look back on it. So my wife, of course, came upstairs and addressed it with me, which was the wise thing to do, the right thing to do. And I was able then to take it back to the kids and say, see, you know, even daddy falls short of the glory of God. And not just on a Tuesday morning. You know, it happens, right? You know, we've been delivered from sin and death, but there's a daily living it out, right? And a thankfulness that doesn't bind me anymore. It's not what I'm enslaved to anymore. And when it's pointed out to me, either from the Word of God or from a saint or from my wife, that my heart can change with God's help, and we can then walk in His ways instead of walking in our own ways. Right. So today we're going to look at the third servant song or servant section of Isaiah. And something that, you know, I hope to communicate as we look at this is the decision that God's word so often lays before His people. Two choices a lot of times. An example in the garden: thou mayest freely eat, you shall not eat. One led to life, the other led to death, right? In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, and this is after giving the law, God says this, He says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a cool verse? Choose life that you and your offspring may live. So we're going to see today in this servant section of Isaiah 50, our Lord's example, and that not only did Israel have a choice, but we too have a choice. A choice to choose Him initially as our Savior and as our Lord, and then a choice each day to walk under His lordship versus the lordship of our self. Okay, I'm going to read from Isaiah 50, and this servant section begins in verse 4, and if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, we've been looking at these four sections that are in Isaiah that talk about the servant of the Lord, and the servant of the Lord is the Messiah. You can go back and review some of those other teachings from previous weeks, but in verse 4 it says here, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens, He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. And that concludes that section. I'm going to just say a quick prayer and we'll jump right in. Father, I just want to thank you for your word and want to thank you for your tender mercy and guidance and direction. Thank you, Father, for opening our hearts and our eyes this morning as we open your word and hear your people sit. Father, we are here together and we're here to hear from you and what your word says. So we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There's a context to this section that's found in the opening verses here of chapter 50. And I'm going to read here in verse 1 where it says, "Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver?" Really, what this is essentially saying to Israel is that you're estranged from me because of your own iniquities. That's what it's saying. You're in this mess because of what you've done. And if you go back and you look, it wasn't like they weren't warned, right? And constantly told. So how often God just lays before us, very simply, even back from the beginning, the very beginning, you have two choices. You have life and you have death. Choose the right one so I can bless you and take care of you, right? At the beginning of Israel's existence as a nation, being established out in the wilderness, again, it's choose life over choosing death. And then from then on, the word of God was just so very clear with the people of God. But, you know, bringing it into our world, Ephesians says of us that we were strangers and foreigners, right? It says having no hope without God in the world, we were dead in trespasses and sins, right? And then it further speaks about how, you know, even though we were born into Adam's transgression, every one of us then followed in that way, right? And so even as people now redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a choice, a daily choice. Am I walking in his ways or am I not walking in his ways? Right? And one leads to life and the other leads to the things of death. And so there's this contrast here being set up because here is where Israel had been separated, estranged from God because of their doings. But then let's look and see here, starting in verse 4, the difference between Israel and maybe sometimes my own life when I'm not following in the ways of the Lord and this servant of God, okay? I'm going to flip my notes here. Verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." And then it says here, "Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. What a cool contrast. While Israel and really the whole world had and has turned backwards, it's this servant that would not be rebellious and would not turn backward. Isn't that cool, the contrast? And God is making this known. He's saying, look, you're estranged from me because of your doings, but is my hand shortened that I can't redeem you? Am I not unable to deliver you? And the answer we find is, yes, I am. And what's going to happen here? I'm sending a servant, and he's going to listen. He's not going to be rebellious. He's not going to turn backwards. Isn't that cool? He will not turn backward. And look at this in verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. And you know, to pull out the beard would have been disgraceful. But if any one of you, I think half of you probably have some sort of beard in your life, it hurts also. It's quite painful to pull on beard hair. So you get a picture here, though. But let me read to you this. Matthew 26:67 reads this. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Isn't that wild? Pete had made a point. It really blessed me 2 weeks ago. He said, one of the things that's so amazing about reading these records is the detail in which it describes that Christ that would come. And this is written 700 years prior to his coming. You know, and Pete made the point. He said, look, what one of you can tell me who the quarterback of the Steelers is going to be in 700 years? And where he's going to be born, and what his life is going to be like. You know, and that's kind of silly because it's just the, probably won't even exist in 700 years the way they're playing. But anyways, you get the point. Impossible, right? But not impossible with God. And here in his word, he's describing this thing that was going to happen. His servant, even though he was going to be shamed by men, even though he was going to be spit upon, even though his very beard would be pulled out, he would be slapped and he would be hit, he's not going to turn backward from what God had for him to do. He would not rebel, but he would listen and he would be obedient to that word of God. Pretty amazing, right? Verse 7 says here, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Isn't that cool? I know that I shall not be put to shame. The servant of the Lord here has put his trust in God. There's a verse in Peter. I'm going to read it to you, 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Isn't that cool? He put his life in the hands of God who judges justly. He set his face like a flint, it says here. He knew he would not be put to shame. Then in verse 8, he who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. It says here, he who vindicates me is near. And his vindication, he was vindicated in that he was raised from the dead, right? And this is an amazing thing. Every one of us, every human being under sin deserves the penalty of sin, which is death. There's only one man who didn't deserve that penalty, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. But he paid the penalty on our behalf. And it was righteousness, and it was righteous of God to raise him from the dead, because despite the accusations that were levied upon him time after time after time, that he was beaten for, that he was hung on a cross for, he wasn't guilty. He wasn't a blasphemer. He was the righteous Son of God. And because of that, God vindicated him by raising him from the dead. And in doing that, giving us and all those who would come to him life. Isn't that awesome? You see in these Old Testament records how the gospel is preached even back here, right? And we read that where it talks about that in Romans, that these scriptures are there for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Because we go back and we look and we see these are things that God has established from ancient times. And it's for the benefit of his people and all those who would call upon his name. Pretty awesome. While men were accusing him of being guilty, he was faithfully carrying out the will of God as a servant who was not rebellious and did not turn back. Right? Here in verse 9, behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. In 1 Peter 1, he quotes Isaiah 40, which is cool. So Peter is quoting Isaiah 40, which comes before where we're at, obviously. And it says this, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flowers falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Isn't that cool? All those guys that accused him of being guilty, the Lord, where are they at now? You know? Nowhere. They don't have any political power. Their kids don't even have any political power. It's like an old garment. It's rotted away, you know. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, vindicated by God, declared guiltless, is here. And it's by him and by that word of God that we today have salvation and good news preached to us. Pretty awesome, huh? We're going to look here at the next two verses, and in these next two verses, it's kind of a conclusion to the section, and it gives, again, two choices, okay? It lays out two choices. The first here in chapter 10 is an encouragement to trust, to rely on God, and to obey the voice of his servant, and the second, verse 11, is a warning to all those who would trust in themselves. And in their own way. Okay, so let's read these. Verse 10, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. There's that encouragement to trust on God and obey his servant. Verse 11 says, behold, all you who kindle a fire and equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. Isn't that wild? Okay? So again, we have two choices. Fear the Lord, obey the voice of his servant, right? Or walk in the light of our own way. And the hopefully kind of get the mind picture here. A torch at best is not great, right? And we have, you know, LED flashlights nowadays that like throw a pretty good light, far better than a burning torch would have. You know, some versions refer to it walking in the light of your own sparks. It's like all you got is like sparks, right? And it wears out and it goes away and it's really insignificant. You know, so in the darkness, you know, the pitch darkness of life where there is no light and there's no understanding of which way to go. Do I want the feeble light of my own torch to guide me? Or do I want to walk in the ways of the servant? You see? And trust in God and put my life in his hands. Again, you see how simple that is? There's really just two choices. And it's simple and it's easy when we read it like this. Sometimes in the practical ways of life, you know, I forget to pray. Because I think that I know what to do in a given situation. You know, I forgo taking time in his word because I'm too busy, right? These are ways that in a practical sense I've said, you know what? I don't need God's help. I can do it myself, so I don't pray. you know, my thoughts and the things that I have to do are actually more important than the things that God has for me to do. So I set aside his things and I do the things that are my way, right? And without meaning to, I begin walking in the light of my own sparks instead of in the great light of the Savior, the Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent to us. You see, it's, and as humans, it's literally the same, it's the same choice we have that they had. Pretty awesome. In that practical, that day by day. And I know all of you in this room are born again. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so salvation is not in question here for you. Pretty awesome. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So often when I find myself walking by the light of my own fire, my own sparks, I find that I'm also quite worn out and tired and often, beat down, right? And just like it talks about earlier in Isaiah, with those that trust in the Lord, right, will rise up with wings like eagles. You know, they'll run and not be weary, they'll walk and not faint. And there really is great truth to that, and that's the challenge in life sometimes, where the busyness of life and the all-consuming of what's around you can become can wear us down, you know, and to the point where it doesn't feel like we even have time anymore to trust in God. But the encouragement is to slow down, to take that time, to trust Him versus our own way. Here in Matthew 11. It's just one of the most inviting, I think, verses and sections where our Lord is speaking. And in verse 28 of chapter 11, he makes this invitation. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You ever feel heavy laden? Like maybe you're laboring pretty hard for the things that are, you know, maybe even sometimes for the things that you know God has already provided and cared for. Earlier in verse 4, when we open the servant section, it says, "The Lord God has given to me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." Isn't that sweet? That the Lord God had given the servant the tongue of the learned, that he would know how to sustain with a word him who was weary. And you see the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how sustaining they are to us who are weary. And here's this beautiful invitation. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is such a rich description, but we see this laid out even in this servant section in Isaiah 50, the humbleness and the meekness of that servant, his willingness, his ears tuned to God, his back not turned from God's ways, but him doing what it is God had called him to do. And here we're learning from him, and he encourages us to take his yoke upon us and to learn from him. And I think probably most of you know what a yoke is. We're not talking about eggs here, right? We're talking about a wooden yoke that would go over the shoulders of a beast of burden. Okay, whether it's a donkey or an ox or something like that. But you don't put a yoke on an animal without the intention of that animal following what it is you're trying to tell it to do and also having it do something, right? And so it's not just that he takes the yoke of the world off of our backs, but it's being replaced with his yoke. You see? And so there's things to do. There's directions to follow. right? He's our Lord, right? A Lord, we come in to serve him. He has served us, and he has taken care of us and does continue to take care of us. A good Lord does that also. But as a servant of the Lord, we take upon us his yoke to do his business. You see? The yoke isn't put on the animal so that the owner of that animal can do the service. The animal is there to do the work, right? And so he puts his yoke upon us. But in comparison to our own yokes that we often strap on our own back and the world that likes to strap yokes on our back, the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ is easy and it's light. Because the heavy lifting, the heavy load has already been borne by him on the cross. Isn't that cool? It's already been borne. So here we are. We take upon him, upon us, his yoke, and we turn our hearts to do things his way. Just like Israel was encouraged to do, to go God's way versus their own way, to walk in his light versus the light of their own torch, right? And so I love that just simple choice and how often by the grace of God, it really all this stuff to remember, this comes by the grace of God, right? We're just like my silly little example at the beginning here, you know, Proverbs, I need his help. I know some, you know, we know his word oftentimes, but I need his help to be reminded, you know, and to walk in his ways. And he's gracious and kind and helpful. His example is there for us. And by the Spirit of God, we're able then to choose life versus death, right? So just a little bit of Isaiah 50 there, which is a lot of fun.